You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Don't you appreciate these guys back here? Give them a big hand, would you? I thank the good Lord for them. And Brother Bill today, which, by the way, he is now in, he read a responsive reading. You know, I grew up in a church that always used to do these responsive reading things, and I thought it was kind of cool. We need to bring some of that back. Right on? Bill did a great job. And not only that, but my goodness, during the announcements, it just blew me away this morning. I mean, it was Chris Jackson untucked. You know, I have never seen Chris Jackson with a shirt tail out like that, you know. And, you know, if you don't know Chris, he's a great guy. He's somewhere around here, and I'm going to get it afterwards, I'm sure. We pick on each other and have a good time. Oh, he's right there. Sorry. He's an arm's reach away. I need to watch it. So, anyways, I love Chris and everybody here. We like to have fun and pick on each other. That's all right, isn't it? It is. So, hey, welcome this morning. We're so excited to be here. And this is Easter Sunday, right on? It really is. Resurrection Sunday. It's a beautiful day. And this is a day, man, we celebrate every year. Every year it comes around. And it is a truly an incredible time to reflect on not just what Jesus did on Friday, but what he did on Sunday, right? That's what the church is built on. It's built on the resurrection, the day of resurrection, and what that means to all of us. So we're going to talk about that, kind of dig into that a little bit. And if you are here for the first time, we want you to know that, man, we're that you're welcome to be here. And we're honored that you're here, and hope that you feel comfortable. And just want you, like everyone else, we are all on this journey, this ongoing journey, right, of allowing God to do a new work in bringing life change to our life. And, man, I am thankful for what God has done with me. Because it's a continual process, as Beth would say, right? That's my wife, by the way. So it's interesting. I can go back and see certain times in my life where I experienced what we're going to call this morning defining moments. Defining moments. Certain times in my life where, I mean, truly there were defining moments. When in a moment's notice, things changed. Things pivoted in my life. Things turned and you know, where in one encounter my life was completely altered. And there's a story I want to share with you. A guy named Jim Rohn. I don't know if you know who Jim Rohn is, but he's a motivational speaker. If you're into that kind of thing, you can watch some of his YouTube videos. He's just a good guy, you know. And I like listening to some of Jim Rohn's story. Jim Rohn talks about a defining moment that he had. And it started on a Saturday morning with a knock on his front door. He was behind his locked door. He heard a knock. And he went to open up the door. And on the other end of the door was a Girl Scout. And she greeted him with this big, wonderful smile. And this Girl Scout was at his door, and she was selling to him Girl Scout cookies, right? And so she and Jim shares this story. She had the finest sales presentation that he had ever heard. She said, "We have a special deal, and today is no exception for you, sir. There's several flavors." And she went on and on talking about what she had. And with a big smile, she presented to him the opportunity to buy a box of her Girl Scout cookies, right? And Jim was not in a position to say yes. He couldn't. And here was his problem. His problem was that he could not afford to buy them. He did not have $2 to buy those box of cookies. And Jim said he could only do one thing, and that was lie. He lied to the Girl Scout. And he said to the Girl Scout that to the sweet little girl that he had boxes left from last year that had not been opened, and he thanked her for stopping by, but he was not in a place to buy any at this point. And she politely thanked him, and she went on to the next door. And Jim Rohn talks about this story of how he was just embarrassed, humiliated, that he had to lie to a Girl Scout because he did not have the $2 to buy her box of Girl Scout cookies. And so that time for him was a defining moment. Things in him began to change, and his response was to never be in that position again where he was broke, so broke that he had to lie to a Girl Scout, right? Perhaps you are not here with, you know, a financial need, but you're here this morning and you're spiritually busted, emotionally broke, struggling and in a difficult time, and you're in a difficult place, and you're going through a dark period in your life, and you know deep down something in you needs to change. You yourself this morning, you know deep down that you need to experience what we're going to call, for the sake of this morning, a defining moment. And I believe that we all need to hear this message, because the truth is it doesn't just stop with one defining moment. As I grow in my relationship with the Lord, he continues to present to me and redefine my moments, quite frankly. Easter is a defining moment. And if we really drill down and look at it and get beyond the eggs and the candy and some flipping bunny rabbit, I don't even know what that has to do with anything, right? I mean, the truth is that all this can be a distraction for what God really has intended it to be, right? This is supposed to be an opportunity for us to reflect on the opportunity that God gives us to bring a defining moment to our life. Easter offers us that incredible opportunity, that opportunity of life change and awakening, an opportunity to rise above and to overcome. That's what Carrie's singing about. Look, Easter offers all of us that incredible opportunity. And we all have an opportunity this morning. And I'm so glad that you're here. But before we go any further, what I think we need to do is just kind of take a step back. And I want to share with you from the words of the great modern day philosopher, Eminem. Is that all right? Here's what Eminem says. He says, look, if you had one shot, right? Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything that you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip away? Now, forget Eminem. Some of you are still thinking about Eminem, right? Some crazy 8 Mile movie, right? Forget all that. But here's what I think. I think that year after year after year, it is easy to just buzz through these Easter Sundays and let them slip away until the next year, and not really truly seizing the opportunity that the Lord has presented us to have a defining moment in our life. The problem is, in this world, it's easy to just let it all slip away. And one of my friends would talk about opportunity. Look, and how it comes in just a moment's notice. And that's what he would say. He would say, opportunity, Ryan, opportunity. You know, talking about opportunity and how we seize that opportunity or we let that opportunity go by. I believe this morning is no different. The Lord presents us with this opportunity. He wants us to, he doesn't want the world to miss the opportunity. And instead, what we've made it about is candy and eggs and some flipping bunny rabbit. Look, this is an opportunity for you and I and for the world to understand that God wants to give us a defining moment that will awaken us and help us to overcome whatever darkness or whatever difficulty or whatever depression that we're going through, man. This is real life stuff. In the scriptures, the disciples were not any different. They were in a dark place. They were hiding out. They were in fear with the doors of their apartment locked. And they were on the brink of letting it slip away. On the brink of letting it slip away in their dark place. In their dark place. And you know what? In truth, they had a reason to be in a dark place. everything that they had bet on, everything that they had done for the previous 3 years. They gave up their jobs. They left their homes. They followed Jesus, and they accept him to the best of their ability, accepted him and pursued his message of truth. But things did not work out or turn out like they had hoped. Their expectations were dashed, if you will, right? Disappointment had set in. They were really, truly traumatized to see what happened to Jesus and to the extent of which the religious big shots or the Jewish leaders would put what they would put Jesus through. They saw and they witnessed all this, and they authentically, truly, in a very real way, loved Jesus Christ. And they saw Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, and they saw how they arrested him, and they saw how they took him, and how they beat him, and they whipped him, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, right? And they led him down this road and put this cross on his back and made him carry it. And they put him through all this dark, dark stuff, this heavy stuff. And they watched Jesus as his hands were nailed to that cross and his feet. And they watched Jesus bleed to death and die. And in seeing and hearing and all that pain, and they were crushed, man. And they went back to their apartment, back to where they were, and their door locked their doors, and they hid out in this dark place. That's where they were. It didn't go down like they had thought, quite frankly. But something happened to Mary. Mary Magdalene, they were all mourning. Mary went out looking around, and she went to the tomb, and there at the tomb, Jesus showed up to Mary in his resurrected form. And Mary had this defining moment. Jesus spoke truth to Mary. Mary heard this. And it says in John chapter 20, verse 18, it says this. And now bear in mind, the disciples are hiding out behind locked doors. And Jesus sees Mary there at the tomb. And Mary's in grief. And she's upset. She's dealing with her darkness and disappointment and her broken heart in a different way. And Mary there, Jesus presents himself to her. And Mary runs back to where the disciples are. And in verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them this message of truth, this message of her experience and seeing Jesus in his resurrected form. This message of the gospel, the good news, she shared this message. Probably one of the first ones to ever share the Easter story. Think about it. It was a defining moment to her. And you know what's cool? What's cool is when you have a defining moment in your life, you can't contain that. You can't keep it behind locked doors. That's true. And Mary shared that with the disciples. Now, here's what I want y'all to understand, is that the disciples were fearful. They were in a dark place. They did not want what happened to Jesus to happen to them. They were emotionally broke and they were spent. And you know what? This morning, I just want you to know, if you're not emotionally broke, or if you're not spent, or if you've not gone through difficulty and trial, I'm not speaking this on you, but I want you to know that at some point we all experience that. I've experienced it. I didn't this week think that I would share this, And it really, truly, it only came to me this morning before I got here. And then when I got here, I told first service I would run a test on them before I share it with second service. Because the truth is, man, we got Facebook live stream. This stuff goes all over the place now. You know what I mean? We have over 2,000 views sometimes. People hitting this and watching. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. And we welcome all of our Facebook live stream people. They're watching us now. We love them and we're so thankful. They're an extension of what we have here. So I will share this. I'll share this story. It's about my story. It's about a defining moment that I needed. And isn't it interesting? A lot of times you have to go through darkness and you have to go through difficulty before God brings you to a place where, you know, he gives you a defining moment, an awakening, a renewal, a revival. You go through a crisis period. My crisis was simple. Back almost 10 years ago, I got myself in a lot of investment property. I was a realtor. And I remember one Sunday, and the pressure was very, very intense. It was extremely, it was difficult. I was trying to lead the shelter church, and I was pastoring, and then I had my job, which I'm, you know, I'm a self-employed guy, and I had my business, and I'm trying to run my business, and I had these rental properties, and I had stepped out and done a couple things that I should not have done looking back, and I know that now. I didn't know that. I kind of knew it then, right? I kind of knew. But I remember this, and this was a defining moment. It wasn't about a Girl Scout knocking on my door, but it was a bailiff. Beth comes to me on a Sunday morning after I get done preaching a message, and she said that a bailiff had called and wanted to serve papers on one of my investment properties. Used to, man, if I had renters who weren't paying rent, I'd just sell another house and make it up and, you know, try to get a new renter in there. But the housing market had collapsed and tanked, and that wasn't the case. Selling another house wasn't doing it. The pressure was intense, and it was hard on my family, and it was hard on Beth and I, and darkness. And there, I was behind locked doors, folks. I was hurting. Trying to figure out what to do next. Trying to work through what I was dealing with. And no one really had any answers. And I didn't have answers other than to have to put my trust in the Lord somehow. But I didn't see Sunday coming. My Friday, you know what I mean? My darkness went for quite a while. Trying to sort through all of that. That's where these disciples were. They were sorting through all of that. They were shut off and shut out. And truly, any message of hope, even from Mary, was difficult. I mean, I did not want to hear anymore that God had a plan. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear, but okay, his plan's over. We can move on now, right? I think a lot of us have been in need and are in need of a defining moment. And this Easter message, it's an opportunity for each of us to experience a defining moment in our life where we are able to experience God and to experience his truth and his power in a way that awakens something within us and raises the dead to life. And this is what happened. In John chapter 20, verse 19, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Isn't it cool that Jesus shows up? I mean, I can tell you this, Jesus would show up And Jesus did show up. And just as he showed up for them, and just as he showed up for me, I promise you, he will show up for you. Jesus was standing there among them, and Jesus speaks this word of truth, and he says, "Peace be with you," he said. And he spoke, and he showed them the wounds on his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. This was a defining moment, folks. When Jesus shows up, we have that opportunity to experience that defining moment. They are given the opportunity here. And they were filled with joy. And he says this. He says, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you," he says. And then, this is kind of different, but I'm sure he had a Holy Spirit breath mint, right? And then he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Look, sometimes we need a taste of what God wants to do for us. I hope this morning, my prayer is, God, help us this morning. Give us a taste of what you want to do, what you want to awaken within us. I pray it in Jesus' name. And he takes the Lord, and it takes the Lord presenting himself. And when you experience him and you taste him, something begins to unlock. The doors begin to unlock within you. When you begin to experience him in a defining moment kind of way. Man, I am thankful for that. And Lord, may it be so here this morning. And the scripture goes on and it says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, just like Martha had told them, they told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." Now, I want you guys to understand this. Thomas is no different than, matter of fact, many of us could relate with Thomas. Thomas, this faith thing was not easy for Thomas. Thomas was stuck on Friday. Thomas was stuck with this idea of it being dark, this idea of not having any hope, this idea of man, things have not, I just don't see God's plan, God's hand in any of this. And he says to them, he says, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and I put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." So in 8 days later, the disciples were together again. Now, folks, this is what's really cool about God, is God keeps showing up. And the truth is, this is not the first time that God has shown up for you. And you know that. I pray that this is an opportunity. But I know that God, just like God has done this for me, I know God has done this for you and he's doing this for you. God does not give up on us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He did not give up on these guys. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he says. Then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your fingers here and look at my hands. Put your hands into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." That's what he says. Now, do you know what that believe means? Here's what that believe means. This idea of believe, this idea for Thomas. Thomas is someone like many of us here. Thomas struggles with this faith thing. Struggles with the idea that God truly has a plan of getting you out of your darkness. Thomas struggles with that. And here's what Jesus is saying by believe. He's saying this, "Thomas, say yes to allowing me to bring a defining moment to your life." That's what he's saying. say yes. Can you say yes this morning? Just say it with me. Say yes. Just say yes. 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 I want you to understand that God is real. He's alive. He's showing up again for the disciples. He's showing up again for you. And he just wants us to allow Jesus to, he just wants us to allow him to bring a defining moment to our lives. So Thomas exclaimed, hang with me. He explains, "My Lord and my God," is what he says. And then Jesus told him, "You believe," meaning you say yes to allowing me to bring a defining moment to your life because you have seen me. But blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Now, folks, I want you to understand something here. Don't let this pass you by. Thomas saw him. And Jesus is saying, look, there's going to be others who are not going to physically see me. Do you know who he's talking about here? He's talking about you, soldier. He's talking about you, Aaron. He's talking about you. You're here, praise God. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. He's saying this, blessed are you who say yes to allowing me to bring a defining moment to your life without seeing me. Now, guys, I don't know, man. Listen, just hear me out. Blessed is not a bad thing, folks. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. I don't really truly even know how good of a thing that is, but I promise you this, it is a good thing. And it is the kind of thing that can awaken your soul to new things. It's the kind of thing that can bring new life to you. It's the kind of thing that can awaken you and help you rise above your current circumstance, your situation that you think you can never get beyond. You know what? March came. What, last month, I think, right? Hey, man, your pastor is one of the sharpest tools in the drawer, I promise, right? So, one of your pastors, anyways. So, anyways, that's why you got more than one, right? Yeah. So, anyways, here's the truth. The truth is that, and this is what I, very hesitant in sharing any of this stuff. Because it's not about what it may sound like it's about. But in March, we paid off like this 4-unit investment property. Beth and I did. 9 years ago, I would never imagine that God could like take us from where we were. You with me here this morning? I mean, it's only by the grace of God that he can take and bring us to from that. Meeting a bailiff at a Cracker Barrel on a Sunday morning after I get done preaching. To, I just wish I could share it all. Verse 31, it does share it all. And this is what it says. But these are written so that you may continue to believe. Meaning this, these words are written so that you may continue to celebrate Easter as a defining moment. But these are written, meaning these gospels, this good news is written so that you may continue to say yes to allowing Jesus to bring defining moments to your life. These are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing or by saying yes to allowing him to bring a defining moment to your life, you in him, you will have life by the power of his name. And I don't know about y'all, but I'd much rather experience life than death. I mean, basically, that's where it boils down. This whole gospel message is your choice. You choose and say yes to death, or you choose and you say yes to life. And God tries to, he allows the church to do these crazy things like Easter to continue to give us these opportunities to respond to him in a positive way. Man, I am so thankful for a God who continues to show up and continues to bring us to a point of decision. What if today, perhaps right now, where you are, you said yes to a defining moment? God, help me God, I say yes to you in allowing Jesus to bring a defining moment to me today. We all love Billy Graham, do we not? You can get Billy Graham's biography and you can see defining moments in Billy Graham's life. One of the biggest was Billy Graham struggling mightily with accepting the word of God and this whole resurrection idea, accepting the scripture as the word of truth and as inerrant and as something that he struggled with. That there was a period in his early ministry, read his biography, and God led him to a place, and finally this place in the woods, Billy Graham had this divine encounter where he said yes, and Jesus brought a defining moment to him, and shortly thereafter was his first huge, incredible revival, which I think was in Pasadena, somewhere in California, Los Angeles, I think. Need to go back and read it. God is, he wants us, and he's asking you this morning to say yes. Look, if you had one shot, or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it? Or just let it slip away? God, help us this morning not to let another resurrection message slip away. I pray that you would speak to us, that you would give as many here an opportunity to have a defining moment in their life. Under your chairs, folks, there is a little card. And those of you who are watching Facebook live stream, there is an opportunity for you to make a post. And you that's watching, just post, say yes. Just write yes in your post. Those of you that are here and you need a defining moment in your life, look, there's a box. I want you to check that box. As we pray, I want you to check that box as we pray. And I want you to spend right now, it's not between you and your neighbor. It's not between no one else is around, only you and the good Lord. And I want you to open up those locked doors and allow God to come in and to speak his message to you. And I want you, I just pray that you would say yes to him and that you would allow him to give you the opportunity of experiencing a defining moment. Lord, you hear my prayer this morning. We're not wasting our time here. God, I pray this is what you led us to. You led us to be very transparent this morning. You led us to be very open this morning, too open for even what I'm comfortable with. And that's crazy. But Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would bring a defining moment to those that are here, that this year would be different and tomorrow would be changed. It would be a pivotal change, a pivotal shift in our life in saying yes to you. And folks, this is a huge deal. It's a big deal, but it's not the mountain that many of us think it is. It's a win-win, man. I don't know about you guys, but Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am done with saying yes to death. I am done with saying yes to death and darkness. And God, this morning, in the name of Jesus, I say yes to life. If you say yes to life this morning, just take 30 seconds between you and God. Talk to Him. Check that box and fill out that card. Would you, right where you're at? Father, help us this morning. God, I pray that you would help us this morning. That you would allow this to be a pivotal change, a pivotal movement, something that's beyond what we could ever imagine or dream. God, I pray that you would move. May we remember this day as a defining moment in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.